Zach back with us. Right there. All right. Okay, before thank you, Zach.
Flowers.
It's not written on your schedule today, but many of you have heard me tell you, if you're from Lord Jesus Christ Assembly, you've heard me tell you about Will Rush. And some of you, because people who preach the gospel accurately, grace gospel, free grace gospel, the Christocentric free grace gospel, are rare. People know about you, even when you've never met them before. Some of you from Reading, you met Will. He was like famous already. You're Will Rush. And I've asked him to share for about 15 minutes with us before our main message, and kind of loose direction. Didn't give him a lot of definition, but talked about like his journey in realization of the accurate gospel of the Scripture and that gospel itself. And I don't know exactly what he's going to say here today, but I've told you about him, that he's from, most lately, he's from Russia. Spent about a year there preaching that gospel in Russia. And would you please welcome our brother Will.
Thank you, Timothy. You know, it's great following the Joshua generation. I used to always think that all Christocentric Graceites were old. No offense, Timothy. But then I met Troy McIntosh on Facebook. I was like, now I don't only have a Christocentric brother, I have a Christocentric brother. So I was stoked meeting Troy and fellowshipping with him and asking questions. But Timothy, thank you for calling me up. I'll never forget the day I met Timothy. Actually, my flesh dreads that day, and it will probably dread that day for the rest of my life. I was a religious studies major, also a journalism major, and Timothy Metcalf would always come into my classes, and he would present what it meant to be an evangelical Christian, and I was like, oh man, this guy's going to get roasted. I was the only professing believer in that class, filled with atheists and agnostics, and Timothy would present, and then he'd open it up for questions, and I was like, oh man, now he's really done it to himself. And he would get attacked and berated. And I remember this one girl, but I'll never forget how he responded. There was this one girl attacking him about some Jewish traditions. And Timothy said, that's not in the Bible. And she said, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And he said, no, it's not in the Bible. And she said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And he turned around and picked up his big Hebrew, Greek, Pig, Latin, English Bible, sat it down in front of her, and he said, show it to me. And she said, well, I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. He said, show it to me. I don't know where it is. And he said, I've studied this book for the past 30 years of my life. It's not in there. And she was silent for the rest of the class. I will never forget the day I met Tim Metcalf. And so after that class, I approached him, and I was like, wow, that was awesome. And I, at that time, was involved with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. And I was discipled through that ministry, but it was more of like, okay, stay out of lust, and are you reading your Bible kind of a thing. But I approached Timothy, and I said, have you ever considered like pouring into anyone the spiritual truth that you have? And he said, are you asking me to disciple you, son? And I said, yes, Timothy, I want to be discipled by you. And so at that point, I started meeting with him. This was in, I guess, 2006. And so we would meet every week, and through that, P.J. Walk started coming from Reading, and Seth Moyer, and a couple of my other friends, and we started just coming in that room over there, and our jaws would like drop to the floor as Timothy would speak truth into our life. And so it was at that point that he really started to challenge me in my doctrine. I was a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, and I actually became an intern with them starting in 2007. I was out in Indianapolis, and I was just loving life, passionately going out there and doing ministry. And I thought, you know, this is what God had for me. This is where he wanted me, kind of a thing. And so then I was offered a chance to go to Russia, as Timothy said. And On my last trip through, he brought me into that room again, and my mouth again was dropped to the floor. And it was the first time that he really challenged me on being in a ministry that required the sinner's prayer. And not only the sinner's prayer, but shared a more anthropologically centered gospel. And it was at that point that I really started to discern, you know, which gospel do I want to share? And I started studying Scripture during my whole year in Russia. Not only was it an unbelievable year over there, which I'll share a little about, but I was really studying deep into Scripture about this word. What it really came down to was repentance. What is this word repentance? And for the first time in my life, Timothy introduced that it's not repentance from sins in Acts 2 that they're talking about. It's about repentance, changing your mind of how you view Jesus Christ. I had never even thought about that. Of course I knew that as spiritual truth, but the gospel? No, I always knew the gospel as this story that you're involved in and that, you know, that's painted out. And it's a beautiful story, but it's not the gospel. And so I really, during my time in Russia, I started studying. And one question hit home to me. It was the question that Jesus asked his disciples. He said, "Who do people say I am?" And the disciples responded, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or the other prophets." And then Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" And here Peter, the bold, stupid, / moronic Peter, but bold and passionate, he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And not only did Jesus just say, you know, "Good job, Peter. All right, let's go heal some people." He said, "Peter, this is the rock on whom I'll build my church." And so I started looking at this question of who is Jesus. And it didn't end there as well. This is the reason he was put on the cross. They said, in Matthew 26, "Do you claim to be the Son of God?" And he said, "It is as you say." And they said, "This is blasphemy. Crucify him." So this question kept being brought up over and over in my mind. Who is Jesus? And then in Acts 2, the first thing Peter does is he walks into a synagogue and says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." And their hearts were stirred. And they said, "What should we do?" And there's that word, repent. I said, repent. Okay, let's look at the context here. Peter didn't mention anything about, you know, recognizing your sin or anything. This message was about Jesus. So what is this repentance? And it was around that point that I decided this repentance is about how you view Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And when you come to believe him as God, Son of God, Messiah, died on the cross, was raised from the dead, salvation is yours. And so it was at that point that I recognized I was in two different worlds. With Campus Crusade, a great ministry. I love their model. I really started applying my faith through Campus Crusade. Then my mom became a believer through Campus Crusade and all these things. But I recognized I was really at a fork in the road. I needed to decide what gospel did I want to share. And so the first thing I did is, well, I said, well, if this gospel is really real, I need to try it. I need to apply it to the real life. Can the free grace, Christocentric gospel, what does it look like in the real world? And so as Timothy said, I was over in Russia and I met two guys during my time in Russia that God totally took me and has placed me to where I am now and has modeled the way I want to do ministry in the future and is a stepping stone to what I feel like he's calling me to. The one's name was Yaroslav. I met him actually playing volleyball one night. And then that very night, we're talking on Skype in his broken English. And he said, "Will, I want to know about the changes in your life. I've read through your entire Facebook profile and I've listened to all your blogs. I want to talk to you about God." And I was like, "Okay, here we go. Let's do it. Tomorrow, let's meet at a cafe." So the very next day at the cafe, I shared with him the truths of Jesus. And he said, "Oh, so being a Christian doesn't as much mean believing in God, but mean believing that Jesus is God." And I said, "Yaroslav, you've got it." And he said, "I need to think about this." And I said, "Yeah, you do." And so I challenged him to read the book of Luke, and I challenged him to watch The Passion of the Christ. And he did both of those that very night. I've got this picture on my Mac saved of how he wrote in broken English. "Will, I begin to read Bible. I do not stop. I go now." And it was awesome. And so it was 3 weeks later, and he started coming to church 3 weeks later, and we're sitting in my flat in Russia, and I'm sitting down, and he's to my right, and there's a Muslim to my left, and Sasha, a girl who was working in the ministry. And I brought up that question, who is Jesus? And so the Muslim described who he thought Jesus was, often right field. And he didn't, you know, in Islam, they don't claim Jesus as deity. The whole boat is just down the tubes. And so we were discussing that question. And then Yaroslav, my friend, said, "Wait, I want to say who I think Jesus is." And I said, "Oh, please, God, please." And he said, "You know, 3 weeks ago, before I knew Jesus as a good teacher, and I saw him as the Son of God, but I didn't know what that meant. But after talking with Will, after reading the Bible, and after watching the Passion of the Christ movie, I've now decided that Jesus is God. I'm a Christian. And I said, well, I didn't scream hallelujah right there because I'm Muslim, but unbelievable. And so on the metro ride back to his flat that day, I said, Yaroslav, you are now a Christian. And he said, yes, I am. I said, the next time I talk to you, I want to talk to you about how you can now follow this Jesus with your life. And he said, I'm in. I want to talk about this. I want life change. And so that was one story that was just phenomenal. Just, again, presenting the truth of Christ. But it didn't stop there. This Muslim who was to my left the entire time that Yaroslav, we're all going to church together, he keeps bringing up this question, who is Jesus? And I said, look, dude, to be a Christian, you need, not dude, he didn't understand that, but I said, to be a Christian, you must believe Jesus is God. And it was unbelievable at the same time that I'm trying to pour these truths into his life, he's hearing perspectives from all other Christians. They're talking about evolution, creationism, they're talking about angels, demons, what should be in the Bible and whatnot. And I said, dude, listen, let's get to the cornerstone. You're not going to build your faith if the cornerstone is not set. The cornerstone of our faith is, who is this Jesus? And he said, okay, I understand. And it was interesting. We did an outreach through the ministry, through a couple of ministries combined over there. And they presented this anthropologically centered gospel. And we took up cards and there was marks down. And I noticed that his card had marked that he had prayed to receive Christ. And I immediately got the card and I was like, wait. So I took the card, walked over to him, and I said, Malik, that was his name, Malik. And I said, do you believe that Jesus is God? And he said, no. I said, Malik. And I took the card, and I ripped it. I said, in order to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is God. And he said, okay, I recognize this, I want to start studying. And so we started studying and studying more and studying more. And then it's 2 weeks before I leave, not kidding, 2 weeks before I leave the country. And we're walking down the hallway of his school. And he said, and he stopped me and he said, Will, I have news. And I said, Malik, what is this news? And he says, I believe in Jesus. But he didn't stop there. Before I could even take a breath, he said, Will, Jesus is God. And I said, and at that point, I didn't care. I'm jumping up and down in his hallway. But it was unbelievable. Yeah. And so that's what happened in my experience in Russia and coming back. And so God has now led me away from Campus Crusade. And again, nothing against that ministry. I love their model. I love what they're doing. But I just felt like it was a time for God to lead me away from that, to continue doing ministry, but to share what I feel like is the real gospel. What is the true gospel? Which is that question of who is Jesus? And so that's my heart for ministry. And a lot of people, I'm in a lot of conflict now with a lot of the past workers and friends, and they keep saying, well, Will, you need to focus on this problem. You can't have the answer without the problem. And I said, yes, that's true, but if you focus on the problem, you're going to get stuck on the problem. But if you focus on the answer, you're going to get stuck on the answer. And I said, that's not a bad place to be totally focused on Jesus Christ. And so that's my heart for ministry, and that's why I love being here. I'm new to this Christocentric grace and peace. You know, I tell my other buddies grace and peace, and they're like, whoa, we're praying? Okay, get down on the knees. But no, I love being here and fellowshipping with you all and continue to pray for my ministry. And that it is hard. It's difficult. I'm really going through a lot of the growing pains of fellowship with other believers and how to love in the midst of doctrinal differences. And so that's really what God is teaching me. But I spur you all on asking that question, who is Jesus? And Jesus is God. So thank you guys very much. Okay.
Put this on. I'm not going to be up here very long.